Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Isaiah reveals the future reign of Christ on earth. The baby Jesus will be a baby no longer when his thousand-year reign of peace dispels the darkness of war and suffering. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Pastor Lutzer continues the Christmas series on Christ before Bethlehem. Our topic is Christ the King. We're learning about a glorious future on an earth without sin and its consequences.
This creation, which was so tainted by sin, causing all of the tsunamis and the earthquakes and the terrible tragedies that we have all seen on the news recently, all of these things, you see, happened because of the curse. That creation itself will be redeemed, this earth. You say, well, why is it important that it's this earth? Well, think about it for a moment. Satan is the god of this world, the Bible says. It is in this world where you have the business of good and evil and that which is right and just played out against that which is unjust. And then it's here where the contest took place. This is the place where the drama happened. And God now has given Satan the responsibility, if I can put it that way, of being the god of this world. It doesn't mean that God has abdicated his rule. What it does mean is that Satan is permitted to exercise authority in this world under the direction of God. But having said that, it is therefore in this world where Satan now rules that Jesus will someday rule in the very territory where the devil ruled to prove that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of very God. It is here where he shall rule. So I take the point of view that there is a millennial kingdom coming. Now, if you read the rest of the book of Isaiah, and recently I finished reading the book of Jeremiah, chapter after chapter after chapter is devoted to this wonderful time when Israel shall be in the middle, the Jewish people, of course, given prominence in the kingdom, but all the other nations also participating, and Jesus ruling. And when you read those, you have to recognize that is a coming day, coming day. I'm emphasizing this because there are some of my friends who are very good people, very good scholars, who disagree, who say that there is no earthly coming kingdom. They want to relegate it to some future time of the new heaven and the new earth when everything is recreated. But I see it as rooted in this world where the great drama has happened and where Jesus will show his supremacy. This is the kind of kingdom that the Jews in Jesus' day were looking for. And the disciples had to be told by Christ, even by parables. He used parables to show them that, you know, you have the right idea, but this isn't the right time. There is going to be a gap because I'm going to come again and establish it. And it was on the minds of the disciples at the ascension. You remember when they said, well, thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel. That's what they were thinking of. Now, if there wasn't going to be a kingdom like prophesied in the Old Testament, if it was going to be of an entirely different character, Jesus could have clarified it for him and said, look, you guys have got it all wrong. The kingdom that you are looking for is not the kingdom that's going to come. There is an eternal kingdom, and I'm not going to rule on earth. I'm going to rule only in heaven. And your idea that I'm going to rule over the house of David here on earth like David did is totally wrong. But Jesus did not say that to them. He didn't chide them for asking a bad question or clarify their question. He simply said these words. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. And when he told us to pray, thy kingdom come, dein Reich komme, as it says in German. When he told us to pray that, he was really asking us to pray for this coming kingdom. That was the emphasis that Jesus had as he used the word kingdom. And now we begin to understand what the angel said. He shall rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now we begin to understand how Mary would have understood those words as bearing the Messiah who fulfills the prophecies of the Old Testament. Several observations as we conclude today. First of all, it is very clear that when you think of Christmas, don't just think of the baby in a manger. Our society loves to do that because a baby is so non-threatening. A baby makes no demands. A baby is cuddly. A baby needs its mother. And nobody's afraid of a baby. Well, yes, there is the crib. But also always connect the crib to the cross to the crown and realize that all three are a part of the same package. We sang, Mary, did you know that your child is the creator, that your child shall rule the world? Did you know that, Mary? That is who Jesus is. Don't ever confine Christmas to the crib because you miss the triumph and the future rule of Jesus. Second, we all live with delayed promises, don't we? We live with delayed promises. The people in Jesus' day found it difficult to do that, and you and I find it difficult to do that as well. And now, because of this message, you perhaps understand what Isaac Watts had in mind. I remember being about 10 or 12 years old and wondering what in the world we were singing about when we sang Joy to the World. By the way, when you sing, always listen to the words. Don't just be carried away by the beautiful music and the words that you perhaps know by memory, but think about what you are singing. What did we sing this morning when we sang the song, He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the wonders of His righteousness? Is that happening today? I mean, is Jesus ruling today with truth and grace and forcing nations to fall in line under His lordship? Not according to the newspapers I read. The world is out of control. The world has wars. The world has terrorism. No, what Isaac Watts was thinking about, and that's why it's perfectly wonderful to sing those words, what he was thinking about is some future reign of Jesus, regardless of how he might have understood when and how. That may be different than my own opinion, but he was thinking about these prophecies of the Old Testament, and we sing the song in hope and confidence of a future, and we know that we live with delayed promises. We do that as Christians. We also do it as individuals, don't we? And we have to recognize that the God who came to save us is the God who's going to redeem us, and eventually even nature will be redeemed. I was unacquainted with the name Anne Rice until a couple of weeks ago because I don't read vampire books. I don't read the occult. I stay away from that stuff as far as I possibly can. So I did not know that she had written all of those dark, occultic books, nor did I realize that she was a famous writer. But some of you may have heard recently that she's been converted to Christ, and she's now written a book entitled Christ the Lord. It is fiction, but it's apparently very, very, very Christian. I want you to hear what she said. She says, I longed for God during those dark days of writing those terrible books. I longed for God as one longs for a lost country, she said. Because even in those days of darkness and groping around, trying to make sense out of life, trying to find purpose, there is something within the human being that says, surely life has some point. Surely there's more than just this darkness, depression, guilt, wandering, searching. Isn't there a time when there has to come an end to the search? And then I love this. She said, when she came to Christ, she said it was like finding a wing on a house that you didn't know was there and discovering rooms of treasure. You see, because we as a nation, as a society, this whole earth, it longs for redemption, but so does the human heart. Some of you who are here today, you long for redemption. You're here because you are really seeking God. And I pray today that He might surprise you and that he might find you and that you might find him. He is, after all, the king. He is, after all, the one who's going to return to establish his kingdom. He is, after all, the one about whom the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How much better to do that voluntarily than to wait until the afterlife when everybody's going to have to do it? And they will do it voluntarily as well, because they will recognize at that time that they were wrong on earth and he is Lord, even though they cannot spend eternity with him. I offer him to you today as King, as Savior. Yes, it's the baby in the manger, but it's the Christ of the cross, and it's the King who is coming. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you today that your word predicts a day of great blessing for this planet. We thank you that right here on the soil where Satan operates, Jesus will operate directly, powerfully, crushing the devil, bringing righteousness, and showing us what a righteous rule looks like. Help us to be encouraged and help us to know that a better day is coming. And all the longings that we have, even as believers, will be fulfilled. In Jesus' name we ask, amen, amen. And my friend, if you've never come to Jesus Christ, confessing your sins, receiving him for yourself, do that right now. We here at Running to Win not only exalt Christ, but we urge people to trust him, because he is a trustworthy Savior. You know, I'm holding in my hands a letter from someone who wrote to us all the way from Singapore. I mention that because it is a reminder that the ministry of Running to Win goes around the world, thanks to people like you. This person says, "I'm writing to you all the way from Singapore to share how God has used your ministry, books, and podcasts to touch me and my husband's life." This woman goes on to say that he struggled with cancer. They nearly broke up despite their fact that they have two children, but thanks to our ministry, they were brought together. She says that you have been a blessing to me and my husband. Now, when I read a letter like that, I think of you folks, all those of you who are listening, because it is because of people like you that we can be in different parts of the world. Let me ask you, would you consider becoming an endurance partner? An endurance partner is someone who stands with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts. Of course, you say, "Well, Pastor Lutzer, I need info." This is what you do. You go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button or call us at 1-800-215-5001.
That was Erwin Lutzer concluding Christ the King, the second of four messages on Christ before Bethlehem, taken from the prophecies of Isaiah. Next time, we turn to Isaiah 42 and learn about Christ the Servant. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. All four parts of Christ Before Bethlehem can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.